series on Paul. Thanks.
I am so grateful to be a part of a fellowship that supports the prisoners and ex-prisoners and the women's shelter and the presentation of children to God and to Jesus, and make it possible for Dinah to go over and represent us. I'm just very grateful. So, and I'm also grateful to be part of our teaching team. Thank you, Renee, for it's a delight to be a part of with Oliver and Kevin and Renee in teaching. Renee, I will undoubtedly get carried away with my teaching, so would you tell me when it's 11:30 and I'll start winding up? Okay, good. And here we go. We're going to continue today with our kind of intertwining of Acts and Galatians. And some of the themes of what we want to talk about today is God draws Saul, we know as Paul, more fully into God's story. And God's great history goes on in Jesus, who's the wonderful next chapter of God's story. And when I say story, I mean history, but all history is just a bunch of stuff until you put it in a story. Everybody chooses a story. The most cynical, everything's absurd person is choosing a story about the meaning of life. Everybody chooses one. Paul talks about the one that makes the most meaning in history being God's story. A little bit about God's diversity and God's oneness. And Paul makes it clear that we're all invited into God's story and ask us not to miss it and ask his original people not to miss it when he spoke to them. I am not getting that yet. Okay. You may have to do it for me, Valerie. We're recently doing studies on Thessalonians and Corinthians, which are called Paul's journey letters. I thought I would talk about Paul's journey sermon. That was my assignment from Acts 13. So if you're following along, Acts 13 is where we are. But I wanted to prep for that sermon very quickly. Saul got isolated for about 10 years after he met Jesus. It's not difficult to understand that the people who surrounded the high priest in Jerusalem isolated him because they had sent him to arrest the followers of Jesus, and instead he became one. That wasn't too endearing. But the people who were following Jesus didn't want him either, as Renee and Kevin both have mentioned recently. So finally he just went home to his city in Tarsus and hung out for really quite a long time. History would have been really different if he'd just been left there. But something started happening in a big Roman city. In fact, some people think it was the third largest of the Roman cities. The Jewish followers of Jesus just started reaching out to anybody and everybody. They didn't even just stick in the synagogue. They just started talking to everybody. And people started saying, oh, I trust that this is true. And this bridge city became the place of a bridge church. And Barnabas, who had been sent from Jerusalem to help them, said, I know who could really help us here. This guy that nobody wants, because he understands this world. And he understands the Old Testament and the Roman world and Jews and Gentiles. And so Barnabas went to get Saul and brought him to Antioch to help out. Now, the Antioch leaders did a really smart thing. There was trouble in Jerusalem. There was a famine, which was often true in the ancient world. And from Antioch, they sent a huge gift of money down to help the people in Jerusalem. That probably helped the people in Jerusalem think better about these Gentiles who were starting to come in. And it left Saul less isolated because he was one of the ones who carried the money down to help out with the food. Good strategy, good thinking. So this bridge church becomes a multicultural, multi-ethnic church, and they have a leadership team that reflects this. So that's part of God's diversity in Jesus. And I want us to listen to the scripture. Steve, would you read?
In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Now, we all have a tendency to just kind of read over passages like this and not even think about them. But this is prep for this sermon. That's why we're going here. Barnabas, a Jew from Cyprus, still uses his Jewish name, but is very at home in the Hellenized world. Simeon, Jewish name. But his nickname is Niger. That's a Latin name, a Roman name, Roman nickname. And it means blackie. Doesn't take too much of a stretch to think, I bet he had black skin, right? Because his name is Blackie. He uses the Jewish name, but he uses the Latin nickname. And he's probably from North Africa. Lucius. He uses the Latin name only, but he's from North Africa, and so he's undoubtedly a black African. Manaen. Raised in a half-Arab, half-Jewish family, well-off, well-educated, related to the Herods, a Roman family culturally. Shaul, Saul, still using his Jewish name at this point, but a privileged Roman citizen, once a Pharisee, pretty well-off in his family, and strongly Jewish family. That's a pretty diverse group. And they're the leadership team. So this team, and you know, last week Renee said that sometimes God shows up at meetings. God showed up at this meeting. The leadership team, they're praying, they're asking God what to do. They're worshiping, fasting, praying. They've already sent money. And the Holy Spirit nudges them, and they lay hands on to empower with the Holy Spirit, Saul and Barnabas, and send them out. They go through Cyprus, and they end up at a place called Pisidian Antioch, where our sermon is going to be, and that just happens to be in Galatia, which ties us back into the letter that we're looking at also. And it's always hard to tell exactly where these letters, which part of Galatia they were sent to, and so on, but it's in the area, perhaps to the same church. Now, I'm going to suggest that this sermon really shows us the oneness of Jesus and of God, just like the leadership team showed us the diversity. Because Paul preaches a sermon that's not really a diverse philosophical theology, which you might expect going out into this Gentile world. He doesn't do a complicated sermon. He just does a very simple, straightforward sermon and says, God's the God of history, and God's been in history all along, and now Jesus is God's next step in history. Don't miss it. Let's listen one more time, Steve.
After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue ruler sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worshiped God, listen to me. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent."
So, in spite of all the diversity, there's also, one way to say it is, these people believed that God had an incredibly inclusive heart that just was out reaching to diverse people everywhere. But God had one story going on in history that tells us what history's about. And still does. That's what they believed with all their heart. Now, how many of you believe, if you would read Acts 13, 15 through 41, it would take you less than 5 minutes. Even if we read it out loud, it would take less than 5 minutes. How many of you believe Paul preached this sermon in 5 minutes? This guy who preached and people fell out of windows because they went to sleep while he was preaching? Probably not. Probably not in 5 minutes. So what we're going to get in the next 5 minutes is Luke's summary of Paul's summary of all the Old Testament and the New Testament yet to be written, summarized by me. Right? Paul says first, God chose the people of Israel. Genesis, right? I think we spent about 8 months on it. He spends one verse on it here in the summary. And God saved them by sending them to Egypt, saved them in Egypt, Genesis. And God saved them from Egypt, Exodus, right? And God took care of them in the wilderness, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's Acts 13:19, and God gave them the land of Canaan for an inheritance, Joshua. And God gave them judges and Ruth. And God gave them a king named Shaul, which Paul might have said happens to be my name. Also, I was named after him. 1 Samuel. But God removed that king and gave us a king named David, 1 and 2 Samuel. And God promised David that he would send a savior for Israel that would be a descendant of David, and that's kind of the rest of the Old Testament, trying to work that out. And then Paul doesn't satisfy himself with telling the whole Old Testament in a few sentences, or even if he took an hour or two. He then tells the story of the New Testament will later tell, as they write it later. He says, this great story of God that the whole Old Testament led up to has now focused itself in Jesus, whom God has sent to fulfill his promise. And then he says, and you know, that's the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. And then he says, now God sent John the Baptist first to prepare the way. That's the Gospels. And then he says, now brothers, whether you're God-fearing Gentiles or whether you're Jews, and by the way, that's Galatians and the rest of the New Testament and Acts, God's gift of salvation is for you. Now he says, it's true. Many of my peers, people I was a part of, actually had Jesus, the Romans execute Jesus, and missed out on what God was doing, which is, of course, a quick summary of the Gospels. But God, and that's one of the most powerful phrases in the whole New Testament. They use it a lot. But God. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And many people saw it. And that's Corinthians says that, Acts says that, the Gospels say that, 1 John says that, we touched him, we felt him. And he says, God enthroned him to rule with God over human history. The entire New Testament says that. We're all the way down to verses 32 through 37 in Acts 13. And then he ends his sermon by saying, you know, whatever your background, whoever you are, God invites you to join this great history, this great story. And that includes God's forgiveness of sins through Jesus and God's salvation that rescues you and from your own self-destruction and others' self-destruction and people who try to destroy you and gives you wholeness as a person and puts you in a right relationship with God. The word's often justified in the New Testament translations. The message of the whole of New Testament. So be sure you don't miss it, he says. Be sure you don't miss it. Again, the message of the New Testament. I did very good. Just a couple of thoughts and then I will lead us toward communion. I think understanding that God loves diversity, but that doesn't mean that there are many, many true stories about what life's all about. If the New Testament is true, if Jesus is real, what human history is going toward and about is a single story that God is relentlessly pursuing. And we'll continue to do so. And I want to be clear, If you don't choose that story, you choose some other story. Everybody chooses one. Can't not. That's the way we were made. I also want to be sure we understand that this summary of history is the one, not just Paul and not just Galatians, but the entire New Testament is saying is an offer of God to you and to me. Because Jesus is the first of a great big family of human beings that God is creating. Forgiveness, boy, do I need it. I'm not going to stand before God and say, didn't I do a good job? I am going to stand before God and say, you said you loved me, and you said Jesus died for me, and I'm counting on it. There's no way I want to stand there on my own. So communion is about being invited to Jesus' table, all the diversities of us and many across the world and across all of history. It's also about a single story, the life and death and resurrection and offer of forgiveness and salvation to all of us. So I'll remind you, you don't want to miss it. You really don't want to miss it. Easy to do. There are 1,000 stories out there screaming for your life and your attention. Don't miss this one. And I'd like to encourage you, as part of communion, pray that we as New Covenant Fellowship, and each one of us personally, really do be the bridge that God wants us to be in this story of reaching out to the world. So let's unashamedly go and be part of that story. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I love that your table represents all the diversity and all the oneness of God's great story. Thank you for both. Thank you that you want to be with us a lot more than we want to be with you, but keep teaching us to want to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.